The 1880s were a big decade for railroads in our region. The driving of a final spike at Ashland late in the decade finished the steel highway up the West Coast from Southern California to Seattle. There were somewhat less illustrious railroad happenings around that time, too, like the construction of what became the NCO, the Nevada-California-Oregon Railway. The NCO at its peak stretched from Reno to Lakeview across the high desert on narrow gauge rails. It vanished into the Southern Pacific nearly a century ago, but like any lovable loser, the NCO still has fans. A recently formed historical society takes the name of the line, the Nevada-California-Oregon Railway. Shane Starr is its president and our guest. Shane, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Oh, welcome, Jeff. Thank you for having me.
So talk about railroad historical societies generally. I'm as a rail buff myself, I'm aware of the fact there are quite a few of them out there.
Yeah, they're a unique organization of historical societies that are specifically dedicated to preserving the history of railroads. One of the unique things about them is a lot of them are somewhat static in terms of their display, kind of like how we're starting out. We don't have a locomotive at this time, but a lot of them are also regional railroads that still operate today, like the Durango and Silverton or the Cumbres and Toltec. Even the Sumter Valley Railway up there in eastern Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it sounds like you're planning on an operating railroad at some point.
Oh, we'd love to do that. I'd like to find a beneficiary who'd like to leave me $1 million to go buy a locomotive and get that operating. One step at a time, though, Jeff. Mm-hmm.
So what is left operating of the original NCO from its original line?
The only part that's really left operating is from Alturas to Lakeview on the Goose Lake Railroad that's owned by Lake County today. That is the original roadbed of the NCO railway that was built. Everything south of Alturas today, unfortunately, is no longer operable.
So what does the Goose Lake Railway connect to at Alturas?
It connects Collins Pine and a few other industries up there in Lakeview and then brings them down to Alturas and connects to UP's Modoc line that then runs up to Klamath Falls.
Okay, so that's the ex-Southern Pacific there, which now become
Union
Pacific. Okay.
Yeah.
So not much left of the original NCO. Take us back to the beginning. This was not a railroad with a lot of people or business along its line, even when it started, I would think.
No, it was quite an interesting endeavor to get this one started. It started back in 1879. a business proprietor from San Francisco named John T. Davis came up to Wadsworth, Nevada, and wanted to see, you know, what was the economy like. Mining was really starting to boom at that point. You had the Comstock going south of Nevada. And he thought, yeah, there needs to be a railroad here. So we got some local and regional investors together and formed the Western Nevada Railroad Company. Went back to New York and New Jersey, met with some bankers, and ran into Thomas Moore, who was a railroad contractor. And by 1880, they had decided that they were going to build a railroad both north and south. At that time, they reconverged the corporation and changed the name to the Nevada and Oregon Railroad, and then decided south wasn't going to be the most profitable. Let's go north and get going that direction. They had plans to make it all the way up to the Dalles up there in northern Oregon. Things really started moving forward, started bringing in some investment. By 1881, the first spike was driven in Reno, Nevada. And by 1882, the first service revenue service train began. After about 1882 to 84, they kind of went through what I call the troubled period. Money coming in from investors began to slow down. A lot of disagreements between board members on where the railroad should be going. And then it turns out this railroad contractor, Thomas Moore, wasn't all that reliable and was kind of swindling money on the side. At one point, by end of 82, you had two different boards of directors operating. And at one point, one board decided to have a secret meeting. When the other board found out, they came storming in and gunshots were raised. And unfortunately, they killed the clerk of the railroad. By that point, pretty much everything fell apart. The railroad went into bankruptcy auction. And in 1884... the Moran brothers, who were big financial investors back in New York, who had kind of been early investors in this railroad, decided this is our opportunity to buy this, get everyone else out, get rid of the troubles, and start fresh. By that time, the railroad kind of became named the Nevada and California Railroad for a short bit, and then officially a few years later was incorporated as the Nevada-California-Oregon Railway, which became its name all the way up until 1929.
Which is kind of a rare construction for a name, I noticed, to have the dashes, the NCO Railway, basically. Is what
yeah. Yeah, it was a lot cheaper to just paint NCO on the tenders of the locomotives. No, I don't know if that's true, but that was a common occurrence for this railroad. But by about 1890, they had reached service all the way up to Amaday, which is on the east side of Honey Lake, there by Susanville. About a decade, that was their terminus. And Van Jones ran stage lines all the way up to Klamath Falls and Lakeview from there. By about 1900, the Moran brothers, they decided, let's keep building north and continue this railroad. They had reached Alturas finally by 1908, and then Lakeview, which was their final terminus by 1912. Quite successful in getting that built, became very popular within the region, and helped found a lot of the communities that we know of today as we drive by our roads. Termo, Madeline, and several others along the way. By 1915, they did buy out the Sierra Mohawk Railway there in Sierra Valley, and that terminus in Clio, the town we know today, over there by Greigle. And then in 1917, timing was always a little bit behind for this poor little narrow gauge. By 1917, they sold pretty much their entire southern division to Western Pacific, which removed everything out of Sierra Valley, and they took over the entire terminus down to Reno. Until 1926, when the whole northern half of the railroad was eventually sold off to Southern Pacific and standard gauged.
All right. So let's come back to the narrow gauge part of this. We haven't talked about that yet. Shane Starr is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the president of the newly formed Nevada, California, Oregon Railway, a historical society to commemorate the actual railway itself. If you have questions or comments, join us at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Why narrow gauge? Instead of 4 feet, 8.5 inches, which is the standard gauge of North America, they went with 3 feet.
Yeah, that was very common for a lot of these Western railroads because it was a lot cheaper. It was smaller gauged rail, which means fewer pounds of iron per foot. So huge cost savings there. Also, when you're doing the grading, it's a lot easier to move less dirt to just get a 3 foot track down than it is a 4 foot, 8.5 inches. So major cost savings was the decision to go narrow gauge on this.
But then you run into issues where you're trying to interchange with other lines, which was kind of the point for railroads, wasn't it, to be able to pull in business from elsewhere?
No, absolutely. And that was where the NCO started down there in Reno, was literally across the street from the Southern Pacific freight shed. So everything that came down on the NCO then had to be pulled up to the standard gauge tracks, unloaded by hand and reloaded by hand onto a standard gauge car to head out east or west. So, I mean, everything was pretty labor intensive back in this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not a lot of mechanization. So if you had people with muscles around you, you put them to work. So there are some structures that still survive. We, on our web blurb, put up a picture of the old Lakeview Depot. There are a couple of others extant, aren't there?
Yes. When the NCO Railway headquartered in 1917-18 here in Alturas, they built a brand new administration building in Mission Revival style. That's still here today. It's actually our Elks Lodge. Beautiful building. The original depot made out of local quarried rock is here in Alturas as well. The last of the five employee houses the NCO Railway built in Alturas is here, as well as the original engine shop. And they're right next to it is a little well pump house made out of stone as well. Beautiful little structure. And then you go farther south down the line, you go into Reno. The third and final depot after the first two burnt down there in Reno still stands today, and it's actually a distillery and brewery and restaurant. Anyone over 21 listening, I recommend going. They have a great corn whiskey. No, but several structures do exist today, and that is one of the purposes for this foundation is to help work with these different organizations to help preserve and maintain those and tell their history.
So what is the vision the society has for the NCO? I mean, obviously, as you said, if somebody could plunk $1 million, and I think you're looking a little low there, more like $5 million, I would think, to
yeah.
Get a locomotive and keep it running. But what do you want to do? First steps to preserving the memory of this fabled railroad that vanished nearly a century ago.
Yeah, our main purpose is to start bringing people together who are interested in the history of this railroad and start building out a collection. Starting January of next year, we will start our memberships, and we will be a membership-based institution. But what we're trying to do right now is there were two prominent historians who really studied this railroad. And now I'm completely blanking on his name, David Myrick, there we go. David Myrick and Tom Armstrong were two researchers who did a lot of background research on this railroad. Unfortunately, both of them have passed, and their collections have been divvied up into different organizations. And there's a lot of private collections out there as well relating to the NCO. So what we're trying to do is work with, like, for instance, the Modoc and the Lake County Historical Societies. They have great photographs. So we're working with all these different organizations to figure out who has what, and create an archival catalog for researchers to be able to come back together and start doing more detailed research on this railroad and eventually start preserving a lot of the equipment as well. We are fortunate. We just acquired the first two passenger cars, number 72, which was a baggage mail car purchased in 1950 for the Florence and Cripple Creek, and then mail express car number 22, which was actually built by the NCO in its Reno shops back in 1891. So we do have both of those cars, and we're beginning preservation work on those and doing research. So kind of twofold for this organization. One, really kind of start building out a proper historical archive of the railroad itself for researchers to come and really understand the effect of this railroad within our communities and our region. And then two, preserve what is left of the railroad itself. For instance, these two baggage cars.
Mm-hmm. And these are narrow gauge baggage cars then?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, all wood construction.
All wood construction. Well, there's a reason that those went out of business or stopped being made.
Yeah.
Lots of fires and collisions and telescopings and things like that. So where are those passenger cars located?
So they're located here in Alturas right now. We were fortunate enough to be able to work with the city of Alturas to get a storage location for them. They're not open to the public right now, but you can go onto our website at ncorailway.org. And contact us at contact@ncory.org. Reach out to us. We'd be happy to show you the cars. It is on a private occasion right now. We don't have a facility that's open to the public yet.
And what kind of shape are they in? I mean, I've seen pictures of passenger cars from railroads that have been turned into all sorts of things, including chicken cars.
Yeah. Well, and that's number 22, the mail express car. That was originally put on the ground at the end of the NCO Railway's life. Back in 29, and it was eventually hauled over to a Southern Pacific employee's property and turned into a house for a while. And the back of it still has the electric panels buried into the wall of the car. It's in pretty rough shape, but there's quite a bit of it there to preserve, and it really tells the story. It's unique because it is an in-house shop-built railroad car for the NCO Railway. Number 72 is actually in quite good condition. The interior's rather immaculate, still holds its original paint, has most of the door hardware, things like that, though the exterior is quite rough. It's been exposed, sitting on the ground since 29 here in the back alley of Alturas, so it's seen quite a bit of weather.
Wow, that's amazing, though. That, I mean, considering how much time has passed, that things from a railroad that, again, vanished nearly a century ago still are out there and with some kind of connection to their original use.
No, absolutely, and that's why we've been putting this effort together to try and preserve these cars, and there's several more out there. NCO Railway was very unique in terms of the amount of different types of cars, from Kimball & Company to Brill Car Manufacturing to in-house built cars. The NCO Railway really had a little bit of everything on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's part of the romance about it, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Well, and it's such a unique part of its history. And that's why we're trying to get all this preservation effort put together. So it's like you said, you know, they've been sitting on the ground better part of a century, and there isn't much time left for a lot of these rail cars that are still sitting out there. Next year, we were fortunate enough to work with a rancher down in Likely who has the last remaining refrigerator car from the railroad, which is actually, it's leaning a little in the dirt, but it's in really good condition, and he's offered that to us as well to preserve. So we'll be picking that up next year with a few box cars. And we did find one of the original box cars built here at the Alturas shop. We're excited to get that moved and preserved as well. So there's quite a bit out there, and it's going to take some time to get all this moved. And these house movers, you know, they're great to work with, but you know, moving a 35 or 40 foot car down the road isn't the cheapest thing in the world.
No, I can imagine. But that's pretty amazing, the number of things that still survive from the shops where they were building things in their own. Right there on the railroad instead of ordering them from other places, which was what happened back then. As far as locomotives go, I mean, even in a city park or sitting in somebody's backyard resting or in a creek bottom somewhere, is there still an NCO locomotive someplace?
Yeah, there are actually three remaining locomotives of the old 260 style with Wellback tenders. One is owned by the Carson and Colorado Railway, which is a nonprofit down in Inyo County, and they've actually pulled together, got some funding and some smarts from gentlemen to actually rebuild and operate that locomotive. And it spent a year on the Durango and Silverton pulling passenger revenue cars, which was really neat. Another one is down at the Laws Railroad Museum, also in Inyo County, and it's a static display, number 9. And then number 8 is in Sparks, just outside of Reno, and is on the little display down there by the Sparks Heritage Museum.
Okay, so a couple of opportunities then. That things exist in the world that that once were pulling trains on the NCO Railway. How many people, Shane, are involved in the society at its formation?
Right now, there are 5 of us who've come together who agreed that, you know, the NCO was worth trying to save and preserve and be able to tell its story. So we've been working this year since the summer to pull together a nonprofit corporation, get everything upright in terms of the eyes of the government, and then start building out our website, Facebook, and developing our membership process. So we made a lot of progress so far this year. Again, you know, we've already acquired our first 2 passenger cars to prevent or to begin preservation work on. So we're moving in the right direction. We're all very excited about this. And then, like I had mentioned, in January, we will start our membership run for the 2021 year. And so make sure to subscribe to us through our website, as well as join us on Facebook as we make those announcements about middle of December.
All right. Membership. Yeah, it is NCORY.org. So if you look, just type in NCORY.org, basically, and you'll get to the right place. I'm trying, you know, you ending up as president, do you feel lucky or cursed?
No, I feel lucky. This was really exciting. My wife told me to get a hobby, and I may have gone a little overboard on this. But no, both of us are very excited to be working on this, and we're very fortunate. Being headquartered here now, tourists and so much of the NCO Railway's history being here, we have great support from the community. We've had a lot of people come forward and be like, "Oh, I want to tell you my story about, you know, my grandfather who worked on the railway," or, "Hey, did you know this building was made out of railroad ties that are still marked NCO Railway on them?" It's just all sorts of fascinating stuff like that. But the community is very excited to see all of this come together, and we've been getting a lot of great support. So we're thankful for that.
Well, that's fun. Once you get your NCO Railway goggles on, you start seeing things that are out there that from the NCO Railway, which vanished into the Southern Pacific in the late 1920s, was completed in 1912. It got to Lakeview. Reno to Lakeview
Correct.
Was the extent of the railway, which is now back as a historical society with Shane Starr as president. Shane, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange. Best of luck.
Well, thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
All right, take it easy.